From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler. Patty Larkin will be in Columbus for her Still Green tour on Friday, April 25th. More information about tickets is available at www.kappa.com. The tour supports her most recent release, Still Green, a collection of 12 new, mostly original songs written during the past several years of her life, a time which she describes as, quote, a search for relief and respite. Welcome to Craft, Patty Larkin.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Tell me about the writing of your new release, Still Green, which was done, as I understand, in a shack on the dunes of Cape Cod.
Yeah, much of it was material that I had sort of experimented with and written out in the middle of nowhere. There's these dune shacks that, if you're lucky enough, you get to stay out in for a week at a time. And my family and I went out there, and as they went off to work and school, I got to hang out and just record, pieces that I was just working on during the day and record sounds and inspiration from the world around me. It's very surreal out there. There's obviously just rolling dunes that lead to the sea and nature. So, distraction.
When you say dune shack, I kind of think of this, like boards barely clinging to the frame of a small building. Is that accurate, or was it something more than that?
Well, there are a couple that are like that, and then they're actually pretty well kept up by a nonprofit now. But the one that we stay in and like to stay in is one that was rebuilt after one of them burned down. So it's pretty cool. It is just uninsulated barn wood, but it's a little screen in front, screened in porch, and then a one bedroom with a little kitchen and a little place to eat and sleep and a desk, which was the important thing for me. I really like the sort of built-in wooden, it's rustic, let's just say that. And then you have an outhouse and a pump, and that's about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess not having any of the amenities of maybe city life, if you have an outhouse and a pump, it helps you focus more on writing.
Well, it did. And I wanted to just have that extended period of time and see what I came up with. There's a lot of artists who go out there, painters and poets, and right now not that many musicians, but I wanted to check out what that would be like to write out there. And I actually thought perhaps I would record a record there, but I brought a little portable recorder, but it just, that was not to be. But I did get several songs that are on a new album out of the experience.
Well, tell me about some of these songs, maybe some of the ones that you'll play when you're in Columbus on April 25th.
I think of the songs as a sort of a three-part suite, in a way. There are the songs from the Dune Shack, so they have a lot to do with nature. Things like Down Through the Wood, which is one of the things I wrote about maybe 3 years ago out there. You do have to traipse down through this little beach forest, and then you're up and into the dunes. And once you go up and over the big sand dune, you are pretty much, removed from civilization. So that's a really wonderful feeling. You are, you could be filming a Sahara Desert, Omni Theater piece until you get to the ocean.
For it's hard to be green and take your turn. It's hard to be green and take your turn. Hard to be green and take your turn. It's flesh. So much fresh.
So there's that. There's another one, It Could Be Worse, which was also sort of returns into nature, saying, gosh, things are tough, but it could be worse, and let's take a look at finding each other here, which I think happens it's what you want when you go on vacation, but sometimes vacations become full of busyness rather than vacating and being quiet. And I think that kind of, it's not even like family camping because you have a roof over your head. It's even simpler than that to just be out there and slow down. Still Green Behind the Ears. Green Behind the Ears is a poem from a Kay Ryan book that a songwriter friend of mine gave me, and it's the Niagara River is what it's called. And she's a poet who I thought when I picked up the verses, I thought, boy, this really feels like song lyrics to me. And I was in a hotel and beginning to write for the record, and the song just kind of sprang forth in a way. It really, it was a spontaneous vocalization, and I feel really fortunate that as a poet laureate, she could have been fairly possessive about her work, and she was very gracious and allowed us to use the lyric on the album, so that's really great.
You're self-described as a guitar-driven songwriter. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if that means that the music comes first for you and then lyrics, because what you're describing sounds like might be the reverse, if that's the case.
On this one, on Kay's poem, yes, definitely the lyrics came first, and then the music was a spontaneous reaction to that, which is very rare for me. Usually it comes off of the guitar, and it's something that I've been sort of goofing around with the guitar or trying different sounds on the guitar and start singing above that, you know, business going on, the cacophony of whatever I'm working on. And it becomes this a way to remember the melody and to be with the guitar and kind of marry the two. And then the melody becomes lyrics for me. You know, every once in a while, the lyrics just kind of pop out and you don't really know necessarily where you're going or what you're writing about, but it eventually, if you stick with it and you're lucky and it's going to work, it will work out that you have a song, and that's pretty miraculous to me.
You've collaborated with other singer-songwriters like Sean Colvin, Roseanne Cash, Bruce Coburn, and Mary Chafin Carpenter, among others. Tell me about working with other artists and how it impacts your writing process, the way you've described it as coming, you know, from working on the guitar and then that works into a melody and a lyric. Is that something that's carried forth when you're collaborating with others?
I think you're referring to 25, which was a compilation of my own songs that I did acoustically in my home studio and then sent to others to add their voices to. And as the thing got rolling, it was the 25th anniversary of my first album release. And as it started to get going, we invited just a handful of people, and then we kept inviting people, and they kept saying yes. And so that list is a list of people that who've inspired me, yeah, throughout the years and with whom I've worked and performed. Some of them, like Sean and Bruce Coburn, are people that I had on previous albums, and it's pretty glorious to hear what someone else adds to your music, and that, you know, for me is inspirational. People like John Gorka I've worked with and Cheryl Wheeler that are on that album. Mary Chapin Carpenter and, you know, it's just the kind of thing where they hear how they hear your music or what they might think of your music, like a Jonathan Brook, what she adds to it. It just takes it to this whole different place that, you know, you have no idea that this was even possible. And so that's the inspiration I get. That's the takeaway I have from other writers. It's probably why I write, you know, continue to write songs, because I go through these little cycles of, oh, this, you know, whatever, you know, I've written enough. And then you hear something that inspires you and makes you want to sit down and imitate it. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be someone who's long gone, or it could be somebody who you just went to see that night, or be someone on a recording or on a satellite radio station. You know, it's just, it can be anywhere, or it could be just shopping in the grocery store. You hear something and say, wow, that's kind of a cool rhythm. You know,
I'm glad to hear it can be anywhere. That gives more hope than if you have to be in, you know, a rustic shack with no running water, you know, out in by the ocean. That sounds
right.
More arduous than I think that I may be able to willing to do for songwriting.
Right. Well, when I poured over all those songs that I'd written out there, I thought, you know, really, I'll just choose the few that I really am drawn to, because I had so many songs that referred to sand. It was repetitive. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of, you know, kept writing, and I had some other songs I had written during this the traumatic times in 2009, 2010. You know, so I pulled from those, and I'm really proud of the record. I feel like it, you know, I call myself a guitar-driven songwriter, but these are The guitar parts are fairly simple on this album, so that's new for me, and it's a challenge to perform because I think, well, should I put a solo here or flip the guitar behind my head or, you know, do the splits or something? And it's, they're just very vocally driven as opposed to my other work, which has been very guitar driven.
Do you think that that is just a reflection of a differing taste that you've got, a differing feeling when you were writing the song to have the more simple guitar lines? Is that an artistic statement that grew out of being in maybe a more simplistic place like the Shack?
I think so. And I think also that I know usually when I write a song that comes just out of a vocal place, it's because I have that need to sing. And so the Kay Ryan or the, you know, the songs on this album, it just came out of this very heartfelt place. And to have a whole group of them together is new for me. And we'll see where the next record takes me. But perhaps, yeah, being very simple and, I don't know. I know that the first few things, It Could Be Worse, was one of the ones that I worked on out there. And it reminds me of a Beatles song, and a couple other things reminded me of Stones and or old folk songs, or even Mississippi John Hurt or John Martin. It's a different take on it, and I think maybe simplifying your existence and slowing that down does help you simplify, you know, what you want to say and how you want to say it.
Patty Larkin, I thank you very much for talking to me today on Craft. And we'll look forward to your tour coming through Columbus on Friday, April 25th at the Lincoln Theater. And more ticket information about that is available at www.kappa.com. So thank you very much, and you have a great day.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
For more information about Patty Larkin's appearance in Columbus, visit www.craftheshow.com, where you can also register to win prizes if you're the first commenter on our blog. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.